I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mayor LaToya Cantrell says when people resort to gun violence to resolve problems, it never creates solutions. Only innocent victims and trauma. I couldn't have said it better myself. And Chief Sean Ferguson from the New Orleans Police Department joins us in the studio. Chief, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Chief, it's been a crazy weekend. We were just talking offline. I've experienced some of the same situations in Jefferson Parish. No rhyme or reason. I began to look at the moon sometimes to try and figure out when you'd have multiple shootings across multiple geographic sections of the parish, of the city. No connection between them. It just so happens that on this day, at this point in time, all of these conflicts rose to a point where somebody resorted to gun violence.
Yes, I mean, you're looking at the moon or you're wondering what is in the water, you know, but no rhyme or reason, as you've said. Just trying to figure it all out.
So 10 people shot on Canal Street, obviously big weekend, Bayou Classic, a lot of people coming in town, a lot of people having fun. I know the investigation is continuing. There's probably not a whole lot you can say. But is there anything new that you can reveal?
Nothing new as of right now. I think we just have some good leads. We've asked the community for help, and we're starting to get that help, and it's starting to give us some traction in a good direction into where we can go with this investigation. But I'll tell you, you know, this weekend in its totality was a great weekend up until that 3:30 mark. Those last couple of hours of this weekend, we had a phenomenal Bayou Classic crowd, no issues whatsoever.
Battle of the Bands went without a hit. Everything was great. A lot of people
everything.
In town. I heard that, you know, the hospitality industry was happy. They, you know,
this is one of the largest crowds we've had in some time. I think this game had some implications with regards to their conference, but they definitely had the attendees, and they were well-behaved up until this point where a few individuals just chose to do the wrong thing.
You know, and I said this before, if you give a damn about the city, and if there's somebody in that video that you recognize, you need to call the NOPD, call Crime Stoppers, call somebody, pass the information along. Y'all got a great video. There was great video of the shooter.
Yes.
So I'm confident he's going to be identified.
Yes.
And there are going to be some people that he was standing with that are going to be identified as well, because those pictures were very clear.
Absolutely. I mean, we have some more video to gather. And that is what I was letting the media know. I wanted the city and the world know yesterday that there's still much work to be done, but I can say the men and women of New Orleans Police Department, the investigators have been doing a phenomenal job from the beginning to make sure that the scene was secured. We got a lot of information from that scene alone that is going to help us progress throughout this investigation.
I mean, we're really into the major tourist part of the year for us. We have the national championship game that we'll be hosting at the beginning of the new year.
Yes.
Big weekend this weekend, Saints. 49ers. You know, and I know that you guys are always taxed to the max with staffing and all of these events.
Mm-hmm.
But life goes on, and we need to get this resolved as quickly as possible, and we need the help of everybody out there. If you're in the listening audience and you know somebody, you got to pass that information. I don't care how insignificant a detail you think it is, punt to the NOPD. Not only about this shooting, but all the others as well. Any of them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you have the San Francisco game coming up this week, and you have the New Orleans Bowl in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You have New Year's as well as the Sugar Bowl and a national championship. But, I mean, we're prepared. We're ready for each and every one of these events. We've been great with this. You know, we have our partners with Jefferson Parish, with the Criminal Sheriff's Office. We have our partners with the State Police and our federal partners who are out there with all of these major events. And we have been doing a phenomenal job. The men and women are right there, Johnny on the spot. As you saw that video, clearly there's a total disregard for authority. The police unit was sitting right there, and they still chose to resort to gun violence.
The perps are getting younger and younger.
Yes.
I mean, it drives me crazy. I was reading a story this morning where a woman at a mall, not here, I think it was in California, they stole her iPhone from her,
mm-hmm.
six young kids, and she confronted them. She chased them into the parking lot and confronted them, and they happened to be a California highway patrolman off duty that was there. He intervened. They ended up almost killing this guy.
Wow.
He ended up pulling pepper spray out. He's in the hospital. Recovering from his injuries. He was knocked unconscious.
Wow.
Over a cell phone. And they were getting ready to wail on this lady. And, you know, you see this, eight teenagers.
Yep. They're bold and brazen. They're very bold and very brazen in this day and age. I can say, going on 22 years on this job, I've never seen them so bold and brazen. And they have no regard for authority, no regard for innocent bystanders. As you saw this weekend, they have a certain tunnel vision. They're looking at that one individual or one item that they want to take, and they're going to go through hell and high water to do whatever it is.
Do they really believe they're going to get away with it, choosing that instance with hundreds of people around?
I mean, are you as
flabbergasted by the mindset as I am sometimes? After 40 years in this business, I look at this and I'm like, what the hell is this kid thinking?
I try to figure it out, but we cannot, you know. And unfortunately, conflict resolution always, this day and age, resort to violence instead of a communication line. No one seems to know how to talk to one another anymore.
Yeah. You know, I talked about this on the show yesterday about respect for authority and respect for the police and the fact that it's waning. And, you know, we have police officers who the vast, vast majority of them are out there for the right reason, doing the right thing. Not unlike every other occupation, we have police officers that have malintent and that have evil in their heart and evil in their head.
Yes.
And, you know, we have to root them out. But some of the stuff that I see going on about blaming the police for this, blaming the police for that, I picked up another story where a police officer walks in and orders six coffees for the 911 center ladies that are working on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he walks into a coffee store, and a Starbucks store.
Right.
And you know how they print the name on the order ticket? Well, in this order ticket, they put the word pig.
Wow. Wow.
And the person gets fired,
mm-hmm.
which she should be.
Should be.
The onslaught on Facebook and Twitter about saving this person is just beyond me.
Yeah, yeah.
And we wonder... And I believe, and I'm getting to a question here, but I believe that all of this is interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
I think, you know, society, unfortunately, the way it is nowadays, you know, the thought of police, we've gotten to a point where people feel that it's a us against them thing, and police just aren't that way. And like you say, the vast majority of the officers that are dedicated to this occupation, this day and age, they do not wake up in the morning saying they want to shoot and kill someone.
Or beat someone or disrespect somebody or anything. They actually want a day without any conflict at all. It's a perfect day for a policeman, right?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, they have been put in some positions where they may have made a mistake or a poor decision for that moment. But, again, going back to that article, you know, we're ready to rake the officers across the coals. But then you want to save someone else's job for them making a boneheaded decision. Where's the equality in it? Where's the fairness on both sides of the ball in it?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Chief, but I think that's why I read the mayor's statement, because I really thought that she crafted those words very, very well.
Yes, yes.
That, you know, this gun violence issue It's not resolving anything.
Not a thing. Not a thing.
And, you know, I don't know. We'll know, I'm sure, soon enough the age and the identity of the shooter. He looks young on the video.
Yes, yes.
I mean, he
does. He does. And we're working at that, you know, just it's amazing. Not just on that with regards to what the mayor is saying. Going, you know, I received a question from the media yesterday, and I think about it in retrospect today, thinking about I was asked my opinion on gun policies Louisiana compared to New York state laws. You know, I just think about it. You know, we want to put all of these policies and procedures with regards to guns, but it is not guns that are hurting people. It is people with guns who are making irresponsible decisions that are hurting people. So you know, the laws are there, the policies, procedures are there. It's a matter of people abiding by them. And if you're going to use a gun, you should be using it in self-defense only.
Yeah, and I don't really want to get into all the gun control issue, but it's funny because I follow England, mm-hmm. Great Britain, very closely.
Yes.
And they have record number knifings.
Yes.
They now have mandated knife survival kits to be placed in ABO outlets in London.
Wow.
Because of all of the knifings that are occurring. And they are prohibiting the sale of some types of knives, mm-hmm. in Great Britain, in some of the counties there, as we speak.
Yeah.
So what we have is a life experiment here of the difference in the choice of the instrumentality to carry out someone's evil in their heart or in their head.
Yes. And that's what it comes down to.
They had
the mindset.
And I keep hearing about mass shooting that. They had an instance where there were 8 or 9 people about a month ago that were knifed by the same individual.
Yes, yes.
Same occurrence.
Same occurrence, just different choice of weapon.
So if I decide that I'm going to resolve the conflict in a certain way, and you know there's instrumentalities that are not available to me, I'm going to figure out a way.
Yep. If your mindset is there, absolutely.
And the issue is that how do we get them off of that track to another track to have a more meaningful life? We'll continue this conversation when we return. Want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. Got Chief Sean Ferguson in the house, the chief of the NOPD. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back, and Sean Ferguson, the chief of the NOPD, joins us in the studio. Chief, I know y'all are monitoring your crime stats. We'll talk about that. But I did want you to touch on this. The preliminary reports is that this is going to be a situation where these folks are from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
We're a tourist destination. There are a lot of things you control, but there's also a lot of damn things you don't control.
Right, absolutely.
And you don't know who's coming to this city a lot of times, when, why, how. There are opportunity. You know, a lot of these crimes are crimes of opportunity, and there are mm-hmm. opportunities that are presented when people are visiting here, especially from the greater New Orleans area,
mm-hmm.
That they may not have, you know, back home.
Right.
Because more people know one another, and you know they want to take advantage of the cover of the city, the event, or whatever it is that brings them here. Am I wrong in that observation?
And no, not just that. I mean, I think, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. They want to hide themselves underneath that cover and thinking that they would be able to do something here in New Orleans and go back to wherever it is that they're from and not be identified. But we have some great detectives. We have some great investigators who will be able to identify them, locate them, and hold them accountable for their actions. And we have proven that in the past, and I'm more confident we will be proving that again this time.
Yeah.
And hold them accountable. I spent last week asking everyone, messaging out, and we're going to continue to do that throughout the rest of these events. Leave your weapons at home. Bottom line, what are you walking around with a weapon for? Leave it at home. You come to New Orleans to have a good time? Do just that. Come to New Orleans and have a great time.
You know, I've always been able to have the benefit of carrying if I chose to do so. There are a lot of – the vast majority of time, I'm not.
Same here.
You know, it may be stupid to say it publicly, but I don't. I just, it's actually a limiter in many ways. And, you know, and you really have to be on your P's and Q's. And I mean, and I just say that just because I had the benefit. I was in a position where I could and I didn't.
Right. And it works twofold. You know, first, there you have an expectation of really having any issues. The other side of it is, you know, sometimes bringing that weapon with you can encourage you to be involved in something you need not be involved in. And that, you know, so it is good, in my opinion, to leave the weapon at home so you do not
The other thing, too, is what I find just incredulous is that, in this particular case, I'm sure there's somebody that's in a beef with someone, and that's what brought it to that point. He carried a gun. He shot and killed somebody. He may not be dead, but for all intents and purposes, his life's over.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, so I mean, whether I'm dead man walking, or I'm dead. You know, either way, I have no life.
And I don't think that is part of some of the concern I have with this generation today. I don't think they see beyond today. There is no tomorrow for most of them. They look at today and to live for today and today only. And that in itself can be scary if you're just living for today and today only.
You know, one of the things that came up in conversation yesterday that I found very interesting is that a lot of people are saying, well, the police got to get into the community more and they got to engage more and they got to do all of that. And I get all of that. But when it comes down to just basic common courtesy and respect, do I really need to know you to express courtesy, you know, be courteous and be respectful? And I use the example, I get on the elevator every morning in this building. And I allow all the ladies to get on first, mm-hmm. and I allow them all to get on off right. first. I don't know these ladies.
Absolutely.
But I do it out of respect for the lady.
I think this generation, again, I would say is different. You know, even with that same analogy, if you step on that elevator, there are a group of people on the elevator. Nine times out of ten, as a Southerner, you're going to see good morning or good evening.
Oh, sure.
And
absolutely.
Others, you know, there are others who step on the elevator won't see a word, especially younger group of individuals because they're not connected to communicating verbally with anyone. And that, you know, that in itself can create a problem in the future should there be a conflict that they are involved in.
We talked about how all of this is interrelated and, you know, one of the challenges of the police business is that boots on ground matter.
Yes.
Human capital still matters. No matter how much technology you deploy, you still need boots on the ground.
Absolutely.
And do you find it becoming a bigger challenge?
Absolutely. I mean, this occupation in itself has, I think, over the last few years have taken a major hit with just as we were talking about before, the society's view or perspectives on law enforcement in itself and certain groups out there advocating that police are wrong in every action that they're taking, and they're actually human beings who may have made mistakes. And like you said, there are some who are actually, you know, perhaps just hell-bent on doing something wrong, but the vast majority are not. And going back to what you said about going into the communities, these officers are out there in the community, and it's beyond just the courtesy thing. They live there. They are part of this community. But it starts with an individual respecting themselves first. You know, we as human beings, we want to demand respect, but we must give it also, and we must give it to ourselves in order to expect it to be given to us from others.
Yeah. Let's go to line two, talk to David. What say you, David?
Thanks for taking my call, Sheriff. And Chief, you're doing a great job. I really appreciate the effort y'all put in.
Thank you, David.
Question is, this incident, there were multiple officers around where this incident took place. How much are the officers restricted in approaching these characters that, I mean, most of these officers probably know these people are up to no good. I mean, they're on Canal Street. They're not shopping. They're not eating at restaurants. And so how much are the officers limited to approach these people and try to exit them from these popular tourist areas, because every time something like this happens, it's the same type of description of a certain character that does this.
Well, I mean, thank you for the question, first and foremost. But there are no restrictions with regards to the biggest thing is we have to have some sort of reasonable suspicion to engage an individual of this sort. But you have to think about this. This was a major event this weekend. So there were hundreds of people in this area on Canal Street.
Yeah, the mere fact that people are congregating is not going to rise to the reasonable suspicion. We want them to congregate. That's part of
what
we do.
We want.
That's kind of what the city's about, right?
Tourism, that is a part of it. You have shops and things of that nature, stores right there, food stores right there in that very block that was open.
It's one of the challenges, I guess, of being a 24-hour town.
Yes, yes. And you have to try to differentiate who is there to do good things, really to enjoy themselves, who's there to commit crimes. But we have to try to read the crowd. But that is a tough job, and that's what these men and women sign up to do every day. But that is something you won't just go, like you said, because they're congregating, and approach someone and ask them why they're here, especially during a major event.
So stop and frisk, reasonable suspicion is a tool in your toolbox. Y'all are
absolutely
not restricted from
No restriction.
You know, I know Michael Bloomberg, who was the mayor. He engaged in a pretty aggressive stop and frisk policy. Now he's running for president, and he's apologized for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some people challenge me on. I said it's not the policy. It's the utilization of the policy.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's just there can sometimes be too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
And you have to really use these tools strategically. And I say all the time, life's a balance.
Yes.
Law enforcement is a balance,
yes.
Is it not?
It's working smart, not hard. You have to be smart about what it is that you're doing. These interactions, because every interaction is an important interaction, because that individual you're interacting with is going to remember that for the rest of their life, be it good or bad. So you want to make sure it is a positive interaction. Even if it results in an arrest, it can still be a positive interaction.
You know, Chief, I was telling you off air, once we hit Thanksgiving, you kind of start focusing a lot more on your numbers. We're all judged by our numbers, whether we like it or not. You know, and it's just the reality of the world. You guys have had good numbers, and your arrest rates are up, which I think is the most important stat there is. We don't ever talk about it, but you know, when your percentage in a particular crime silo, so to speak, or category, and your arrest rates are up, I think that's the best. Because a lot of this you can't prevent. It's outside of your direct control and prevention.
Right. I mean, our biggest thing is just deployment. It's our best preventer. Deploying, putting our officers in the right place at the right time, hopefully to deter any actions or any activities of that sort. But if you notice, even with having officers in the right place, still,
hell, they thought they were being shot at.
Yeah, they thought they were being
shot. That's how close they were to
the unit. The marked unit was right there, and this individual shooting right in front of the police.
Actually, they were ducking under your police car.
Yes, yes. So you know it. So, but we are reactionary for the most part, but we are proactive also with regards to deploying and having that visibility. But as you can see, this weekend was a prime example of having this visibility. It sometimes does not matter.
Yeah, I mean it. For the most part, there are no guarantees in enforcement. There's no guarantees in life. It serves as a deterrent to have presence.
Yes,
but not always.
Not always.
It was obvious to me that he sought the cover of the crowd.
Yes, and that was it. You know, and the crowd was thick enough to the point where the officers could not determine where the shots was coming from. You saw the video. This individual fired off rapid shots quickly, and he was able to run up the street before the officers can even determine who was actually shooting.
Yeah. And then when, you know, it's a little chilly outside, everybody's got sweatshirts on, everybody, the clothing all tends to look alike. I mean, you know, the differentiators become, you know, even more profound.
Wolves among sheep.
Right,
exactly.
You know, as it relates to that. All right, we got to get to a break. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We'll be right back with Chief Ferguson when we return. We're back with Chief Ferguson from the NOPD. Chief, I know you got a lot of projects coming up in 2020, one being y'all are working feverishly to stand up a DNA lab. Got a text here saying, why is there a limit on the number of DNA tests that can be done?
Because we are relying on our partners to do this for us. So as long as we're doing that, we cannot run their shop, more or less, because they have crimes and evidence that they have to test as well. So they are working with us and prioritizing what is important and what we can get tested as soon as we possibly get tested. But again, as you said, so we have that lab coming up beginning of the year. We have to push it back due to some issues, but we do have the lab to break ground at the beginning of the year.
A lot of people don't realize, for every DNA analyst, they can run, I want to say, between 500 and 600 samples a year.
A year.
And I don't know what the new rapid DNA numbers are, but going back and from memory. So in our lab, for example, we had anywhere, on average, six analysts. So we could run 2,400 samples a year. Yeah. So we had to be very judicious about which samples, what cases we were going to run.
Right.
One is very, as you well know, and you're about to experience, the expense of running a DNA lab is huge. It's not like a fingerprint.
No.
It's a great piece of evidence. But it is costly. It's costly to reach your certification. It's costly to maintain your certification. There's nothing cheap about a DNA lab.
Nothing at all. You realize, you know, the area you have, how sterile you have to clean that area.
And oh, there's all kinds.
There are all kinds of things that go into processing one item that you cannot just do it as fast as you see it on NCIS.
Well, yeah, you don't get DNA off out of the air,
right?
And there are a lot of expectations that are obviously created by Hollywood as to what you can ultimately do. It is a great tool. Evidentiary tool, though, to be able to link individuals to articles via DNA evidence, trace DNA. We did a lot of trace DNA on guns, and we were able to do, you know, put guns in the hands of people through DNA. And we spent a lot of time prioritizing that because, as you know, you take down a vehicle or something, and there's a gun.
Yes.
And nobody knows where the gun came. I mean, it was divine intervention. There's a gun god up there in the sky that places these guns.
Yes.
And it's the same squad that is the unit in the NOPD that y'all set people up all the time. I forgot what y'all call that unit, but you know, there's a unit that you walk into the jail and and they were set up by this specialized unit.
Yeah, unit supposed to got them.
You hear those same stories. You see it on, in Hollywood. And they're talking about I said this just yesterday. I said we made 30,000 felony arrests. I think you guys are, how many felony arrests y'all making a year? It's probably right around
maybe just a little bit more than that.
You know, one more felony arrest isn't gonna rock my world or tickle my fancy. So just get it right.
And that's the thing. And you want. I've always said this. I'll continue to say this. Quality. You want the right individual, not quantity. You want the right individual, especially that habitual offender. You want them arrested because you don't want them to keep victimizing, re-victimizing our citizens like that. So it's
and,
about
and I know you believe this. Your arrests are only as good as Leon Canizares' prosecution.
Absolutely. And we have to present a good case to him in order for him to have a favorable prosecution.
Otherwise, your whole arrest investigation exercise is for naught. It doesn't mean anything.
Nothing else. And that's why we also, another project we're working on for 2020 is to build up that data analyst, that analytic unit, have more data analysts that will be out there with the district investigators as well as homicide and Tiger, and start tying in some of those loose ends, identifying those habitual offenders. And that we would be through that type of investigation, we'll be able to put together a better product, a better case for the district attorney's office to prosecute.
Yeah, I mean, there was a whole impetus behind us creating the Criminal Intelligence Center out there on Metairie Road.
Yes.
You guys are housed there.
Yes, yes.
We have 17, 18 different agencies that were housed there. I was glad to see that Sheriff Lupinto has kept that alive and well. Because we link multi-jurisdictional cases that way, you know, by just developing and collecting and disseminating street-level intelligence.
That is it. And information is powerful for everything that it is that we're doing. The intelligence that we gather really pushes out, has helped us in with the success that we have thus far. Using these analysts and these kind of investigations have really helped us to kind of deter some of the retaliatory shootings as well.
So when we talk about the crimes of violence in this particular year, homicide's down?
Homicide is down 26%. We're at 102 right now, going against 135 same time last year. So we're very proud of that. You know, we had 146 in 2018. That was a 47-year low. Now we're on the verge of breaking that record. So we're hit a 48-year low.
I understand armed robberies. Down.
Triple digit reduction with regards to that. We had 27% reduction in that, over 100 less this year compared to last year. I mean, we just still over 400 total for the year of 2019. I can tell you, and I worked in a district back in 2008, we were averaging 200 to 300 in one district alone. So I know right now, you know, we're really doing some positive things with regards to that.
Not unlike most other law enforcement agencies, property crimes are always a problem.
Yes, and it is like a national issue. I had the opportunity to go to a conference last month and speak to some of my counterparts. The same issues we are seeing here in New Orleans, the New Orleans metropolitan area, the same issues you're seeing across the country, which is youth involved in auto burglaries. That is a big trend across the country right now.
Victor of a lot of different things once they steal a vehicle.
Yes,
and there's a strong connection between that and other violent crimes.
Other violent crime, absolutely, especially when the vehicle, a weapon has been left in that vehicle. That weapon is used in a violent crime, robbery or shooting, but then that vehicle in itself is used as the escape vehicle during the commission of these crimes.
Absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Chief Ferguson's final thoughts when we return. Stay with us. We're back with Sean Ferguson, the chief of the NOPD. Chief, let me thank you for coming in. I know you're really busy. I know you had committed to try and come in here every month. We certainly appreciate that. I think the listening audience loves to hear directly from you. Hell, I love hearing directly from you, and I've been in the business, you know, I was in the business a long time, and I think there's a lot of value in that. I know that y'all have been busy on this investigation, and I'm confident that y'all are going to get to the bottom of this before it's all said and done, which is, I think, going to put a lot of people's mind at ease. Your final thoughts?
First of all, thank you for having us, but yes, we have been strong throughout 2019. We want to end 2019 strong so we can go into carry the same momentum into 2020. You know, we have done a phenomenal job with the homicides, and we're going to continue to do that going into 2020. But this one incident will not define us. If anything, it's going to make us better. It's going to make us stronger because we're going to show everyone that we do not accept that. We do not tolerate that type of behavior in New Orleans, not from our own, and most importantly, not from anyone that is not from New Orleans. We want our visitors to come to New Orleans and have a great time.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, has been the hallmark of the success of the city is being able to cater to the tourism industry and provide an environment where people can have a lot of fun. There are folks that want to take advantage of that, unfortunately, and I think that's what this incident will end up revealing. Not that he's told me anything offline, folks, because he hadn't. He's keeping it close to the vest, which is okay, and that's good. And we wish you much luck. We wish
you
a happy holiday season, and we always have our thoughts and prayers with your men and women that are out there standing on the front line for us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.